So we all know that this is a very special, unique times, and I'm struck how much I and others in our community and across the country and across the world are very, very deeply affected by what happened on September 11th still, and some people are still in deep shock, confusion, and a whole range of feelings coming up. And my sense of this time is that it borders on being a sacred time. And I say borders on because I don't want to say it is, because it's such a tragedy. But it's ripped open people's hearts, ripped open our culture, our society, the world in many ways. And it's having people look at each other in new ways. It's having people look at themselves in new ways, asking questions for themselves. It is, life is not normal. Normal kind of concerns, many things that are maybe seem, many things we usually are doing seem somewhat petty. And it really forces us to look at life in a very radically different way, and it borders on being sacred, for some people at least. It points for many people to look at some of the deepest places in their own minds, in their own hearts, their deepest motivations of what's important, how they live. And it's a really important time for all of us. And as I've been saying at our meetings, I think it's very important to remain changed and to let the sacredness, let the specialness, let the tragedy of this really sink in and stay present for us, and not be in a hurry to go back and feel normal or peppy or, you know, feel good again. That'll come, certainly, but with time. So the question of how have you been changed, and then how have you been changed for the better? How would you like to remain changed for the better? How in 10, 20 years can you look back at what happened September 11th and say, yes, that really changed something about my life for the better, and it's remained that way for these years, and it really was a pivotal time in my life, that particular event, and this is how, you know, it's changed me. I hope that for all of us, that in 20 years we can look back at this event and see how it changed us and our society and the world, hopefully, for the better. Before I go on with other words for today, what I'd like to suggest is that we take about 6 minutes or so, around that time, for each of you get a chance to say a little bit about what happened in that reflection, say that part of it that you'd like to talk about, to a small group of other people in the room here. And that we just kind of break up into groups of maybe three or so, and just sit down and have a kind of introduce yourself and just very, very, very simply and briefly state what came up for you as you did that reflection. Anything's allowable in this room as long as you're respectful of others. I mean, your reactions and responses, there's nothing you need to be embarrassed about or shy about. I heard recently someone say that, made a comment about, they were in a Buddhist group, and I guess was talking about September 11th, and after the group broke up and they went outside, they confessed to someone they had un-Buddhist thoughts. And they were kind of embarrassed by this, and that, you know, there's something was wrong with them. They wanted to let everyone else know they had un-Buddhist thoughts. Well, I guess there are un-Buddhist kind of thoughts to be had, but there's no need. The Buddhist thing is not to be embarrassed by those. The Buddhist thing is to hold those within, with as any other thoughts, with mindfulness. So that's my proposal for the beginning here. If you're all willing to do that, and I'll ring a bell, the bell here, about every 2 minutes or so, just to give you some sense that, you know, make sure that one person isn't monopolizing the conversation. And there's a lot of people here in the room, and I think it would be helpful as you speak to your little group of three that you try to keep your voice quiet somewhat, so that it doesn't sound too much like a cocktail party. If for some reason you feel like you don't want to participate in doing this, it's okay to just sit quietly in your place. And someone might judge you for that, but it's, you know, that's okay too. But you're at permission. I'm not going to judge you. I think it's actually taking care of yourself if that's what you feel like. But those of you who feel inclined, why don't you find someone near you and share a little bit of what came up in those reflections. Please. Sit quietly for a couple of minutes after that. What was that like for some of you, to do that reflection and to do that sharing with each other? Thank you, Peggy. You spoke very well about that. I certainly appreciate everyone speaking and the range of what people expressed. One of the things I believe we're called, the many things we're called upon to do based on this event, but to mention one I think that's very important, is to learn to be somewhat comfortable with ambiguity and complexity, and not to be propelled by our fear or anger or confusion or whatever, to look, as Peggy said, look for security or look for answers or look to make yourself right by having some simple answer, simple direction to blame or simple solution, but be willing to hang out with ambiguity and the complexity that is in the world situation, but also that it's in our personal situation, in our hearts. And in being comfortable with ambiguity and complexity, to allow ourselves then to be more impacted by what has happened and what is happening. Because to hold on to something tight for security, a view, an opinion, whatever it might be, often prevents the heart from loving more fully, really taking in the other person, the other people, or even parts of ourselves. I don't know if this is true, but this is what I've been told. It's been reported in the news that in places in America that are far away from New York City, there is a much stronger call for vengeance. And in New York City, there seems to be much stronger sentiment, let's not have any more innocent lives lost. The people who are most directly affected, directly saw and was present, have a different kind of response than the people who are least affected, in a sense, who are far away. How do we let ourselves be open to really be impacted by the people in the room, the people in the world, the people in the stores, the people on the roads, the people half a world away? How do we find a way to stay open to that? And one of the many things we can answer, but as I listen to a lot of the people in the world, I drove up yesterday from Los Angeles and driving up Highway 5, listening to the radio stations, and was listening to a lot of people who were very unambiguous about their views. I'd like to end with this quote, this story. A Native American elder was talking to one of the grandchildren about how he or she felt. The story says he, I'll just make it she. How she felt. She said, "I feel I have two wolves fighting in my heart. One wolf is the vengeful, angry, violent one. The other wolf is the loving, compassionate one." The grandchild asked her, "Which wolf will win the fight in your heart?" And the grandmother answered, "The one I feed." So it's okay. Whatever wolf is there, it's okay. It has to be okay. But then be very careful which one you feed. So thank you all very much for tonight.